Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
So what are the words? What are we
learning? That's what I wanted to know. So, of course, I Google it, and I cannot find anything on what bark means what.
They all mean one word. Hey. Sometimes it's
pay attention to me.
Hey. Sometimes it's hey.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. In for Vince Petrano, here's Eric Bilstad.
And a good Monday morning to you. Vince taking some time off. Eric here along with Michelle Richards. Hello, Michelle.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here.
Absolutely.
Debbie Lasko's got the roads. Adam Roberts is in the newsroom. And Greg Pancake Hill, doing yeoman's work today, is going to handle sports for us as well. So school is now officially here. Summer is officially here for your family. Right, Michelle?
Yes.
And Debbie, you're...
My family too, actually.
Yep, you guys are done. Yep.
He has one more day at work, and then he's done, and then we hightail it out of here.
Day doesn't really count as work. He's just showing up. Just got to make some FaceTime super quick.
And exactly, then... yep. Mm-hmm.
So that's taking place today, if it hasn't already, for your kid. We had completion ceremony last week, so we're officially done for the summer at our house. School, though, and school districts still in the news. Of course, we've been telling you a lot about MPS and what's been happening with Milwaukee Public Schools, but there's also a situation that's going to bubble to the surface today in Wauwatosa. It's a story that broke late last week that the Wauwatosa School District will consider closing the middle schools there because they have declining enrollment, shrinking share of state funds, right? The state aid. So what do you do? Well, the superintendent says he'd rather eliminate the two middle schools than eliminate any elementary schools. So if you get rid of the 6 through 8 schools, you can have maybe the 6 go to the elementary, and then you have 7 and 8 go to the high schools. So that's how this would play out. They're going to meet tonight for the school board to discuss this. And by the way, the one thing they said here, Michelle, which I thought was pretty interesting, they say under the proposal, the 7 and 8 grades would physically be separated from students in 9 through 12 with a separate exit to ensure minimal intermingling of middle and high school students.
So you laugh at that. I think it's a great idea. I think it's important. Like even
to keep them apart.
Even at our middle school, our 6th graders are kind of separate from the 7th and 8th graders, just to kind of get them into that transition a little more smoothly.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. We have at our school district, we have like a middle school that's just 5th and 6th, and then we have another middle school that's 7th and 8th because they feel like those should be separated because 5th and 6th are a little bit younger, 7 and 8th are growing up a little bit older.
Right.
But I get it. But man, they're still going to mingle. Still going to see each other, right? Buses all roll in at the same time.
Yeah, they'd be on the same buses, right?
But it depends on how they handle buses too in Wauwatosa. So that is the big meeting tonight. In Wauwatosa, should you eliminate the middle schools? We'll have much more throughout the day on that, of course, here on WTMJ. It is 6:14. Lots going on in sports. We'll get it in 1 minute.
Now, time for a sports update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Greg Hill.
Yeah, the Brewers are headed back home after a 3-game set in Detroit. Brewers took 2 of 3 against the Tigers. However, the third game ended in a dud. Big 5th inning from the Tigers, who notched 8 runs in that inning alone. Tigers pitcher Tarik Skubal pitched a gem. 10 strikeouts over his 6 2/3 innings of works. But when the bat did connect for the Brewers, well...
And the pitch. High fly ball. Left center field, Wynn pushing it back there. Vierling back at the track at the wall. He leaps up and he brought it back. Yeah. It happened again.
Again. That's 2, count them, 2 home runs that were robbed from the crew that game. That was in the 8th inning.
Happens all the time this year, by the way.
Yeah, sure seems that way. A 10-2 loss for the crew to close out the series in Detroit. They're back home tonight as they host the Toronto Blue Jays at American Family Field. 3-game set. It's Colin Ray who will start on the mound for the Brewers this evening. Coverage starts with Brewers warm-up right here on WTMJ at 6. First pitch scheduled for 7:10. In the NBA Finals, a.k.a. the Jrue Holiday versus Jason Kidd series, Jrue Holiday had the Jrue Holiday game. game. 26 points, 11 from 14 from the field. Only missed three shots all game, 11 rebounds, and the Celtics take a 2-0 series lead on the Mavericks. Now the series heads back to Dallas next. That game not until Wednesday evening, making the NBA Finals one of the longest championship rounds in sports. Get this, if this series goes to seven games, it'll be over the course of 18 days. The Olympics is 16 days. How is it longer than the Olympics?
I don't understand it. I don't get it. And I have to admit, I love Jrue Holiday. I love his wife. I love his family. I love everything about the holidays. But I don't like seeing him win another ring.
He's hooping, too.
Oh, he looks so good. Anyway.
Yeah, and I agree with you, too. And he's playing his mind out, too. So, again, 2-0 lead and Wednesday, and then maybe next year we'll get an NBA champion. And, Eric, the AmFam Championship was at University Ridge Golf Course in Madison over the weekend. It was Ernie Els and Steve Stricker who ended in a playoff due to Els' comeback over the back nine, erasing Stricker's four-shot lead over the course of that back nine on Sunday. So it goes to a playoff, right? Stricker has about 3 to 4 foot, 4 foot putt to keep the playoff going. Here is how it sounded.
No!
Lips it out. Absolute devastation. So Stricker fails to go back-to-back in AmFam Championship wins. Tough loss on his home course as well. The championship, Ernie Els, was interviewed after the game. You're going to love this. He said, after the match, he gave Stricker a hug and said, quote, I'm sorry. And that's what you want to hear from the guy you just lost to in sudden death over the playoff of the final day of the championship round.
My bad.
Round.
Sorry. You're in your backyard right now, but sorry about that.
Don't know
if that
helps, but... thanks.
And he was counting all the money that they just gave him for winning the purse.
He also kept like doing curls with the trophy. Like, all right, man.
Thank you, Greg. 6-19, a loss that we knew might be coming, but still didn't feel good to hear about it. That story next. Eric Bilstead along with Michelle Richards on Wisconsin's Morning News. The Marquette University family on bended knee today. After news broke Sunday that President Mike Lovell had passed away. Lovell, you may recall, had been battling a rare cancer. He died while on a trip to Italy, just 57 years old. I most recently saw him speaking at commencement not too long ago. I saw that on television. TMJ4's Kaylee Starl has this story on him.
It's a loss campus leaders call immeasurable.
My heart sank.
Dave Wilcox taught alongside Lovell.
That light was never brighter than when he was surrounded by students. He was so comfortable in the classroom, a good storyteller, peeled off a few good dad jokes now and then as well.
The president of Marquette, also the former chancellor of the University of Milwaukee, as well as a community leader, scholar, and father. Now with flags set at half-mast on campus, reaction is pouring in from community leaders. Milwaukee's Mayor Cavalier Johnson releasing a statement calling Lovell, quote, a gentle person who cared deeply about Milwaukee. Governor Tony Evers said the same about Lovell's care for Milwaukee, adding that he was, quote, uplifted by his positive and professional manner. And UW-Milwaukee Chancellor Mark Mone also saying, in part, Mike's impact on UWM, Marquette, and the greater Milwaukee community was immense. Even amid his three-year battle with cancer, those who knew him said he put others first.
Did that stop him from climbing on Zoom or on Teams, the scourge of video conferencing? And, you know, he'd do his lectures on Teams.
A true loss and a sudden death. Just a week earlier, Lovell spoke at Marquette, a place he transformed over his decade as the first non-Jesuit president.
To really celebrate what is great about Marquette, and it's the people and what they do when they go out into the world.
And that report again from TMJ4's Kaylee Starl. What was so unique about him, Michelle, was that he was always out there. Like he's been in this studio, in this building quite a bit as well. He works closely with Steve Scafidi on some projects and whatnot, and never seemed to allow this very rare deadly cancer to stop him. In fact, he even told the paper, Lovell telling the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel a couple of years ago, when you don't know how much time you have left, you want your days to be impactful and you want to do things that you love. Here's the unique part. So he was traveling with his family in Italy and they had stopped in Rome. It was part of a Jesuit pilgrimage. And there's a lot about that, about how he was a layman. He wasn't a Jesuit himself, first president of Marquette not to be. And he fell ill when he was overseas. So they took him to a hospital in Rome to get some care. And then during that treatment, that was the issue. He passed away and ultimately died, just 57 years old. And still waiting to hear more details about what some type of service could look like. The unfortunate part, beyond what's already unfortunate about this story, is that class is pretty much wrapping up, obviously, at Marquette. You know, a lot of the students who I know he had an impact on will not be there at this time. But we do anticipate to learn more about a public funeral or different services, a vigil, that type of thing in the coming days. And obviously, as soon as Marquette shares that information, we will do that as well. That's a giant right there. He was very powerful and impactful to a lot of different people in this city. Marquette University President Michael Lovell dying at the age of 57. This is Wisconsin's Morning News. Vince Vitrano taking a couple of days off. Eric Bilstead here along with Michelle Richards. We have a lot to get to. Michelle, I don't know if you're aware of this, but the four-day work week is going to happen.
Cool.
Yes. No, the more you talk to CEOs, the more you talk to business leaders, this is a thing that's only growing. It is not going to go away. This idea of the four-day work week, and I will argue, is already happening.
Oh, for sure.
I think it's been happening for years, actually. So we'll get into that later in the next half hour as well, plus much, much more throughout the morning on President Michael Lovell, who passed away at the age of 57. The Brewers back home taking on an old foe. That story coming up at 6:45.
You have a dog, right?
I do.
Do you understand your dog when he
yes.
barks at you?
You know what? I think I can interpret some of his barking.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there is a researcher now, a professor at the University of Texas, who's using a computer program to translate dog sounds into words, and it's apparently working. He's been able
All right.
He's been able to transcribe 10 hours worth of barks into meaning. The professor says he hopes the research will just be a starting point for different species to understand each other.
It boils down to, you know, facilitate better communication, better understanding between different species, and ultimately we just want to have a better world.
Now,
So what are the words? What are we learning?
That's what I wanted to know. So, of course, I Google it, and I cannot find anything on what bark means what.
They all mean one word. Hey. Hey, hey, hey. Sometimes it's
hey. Pay attention to me.
Hey. Sometimes it's hey, 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 hey. I'm telling you, all they say is hey.
All right.
So I just solve
this
problem.
This guy's getting like $400,000+ in grant money to research this, and you just solved the problem in 2 seconds.
6:37. Apple in the news today. A big event for Apple. It's expected to kick off some new products.
All eyes on Apple as its Worldwide Developers Conference kicks off today at company headquarters in Cupertino, California.
And somewhere Vince Vitrano just got the chills because he heard his favorite term.
All eyes on Apple.
Anyway, so Apple is doing this big event, Michelle, and they're going to announce a number of different changes to their products that will include artificial intelligence.
The tech industry has been obsessed with artificial intelligence lately, and there's good reason why. Services like ChatGPT have exploded in popularity, drawing in more than 100 million people using them and changing the way a lot of people are using computers.
Yeah, CBS News tech contributor Ian Schur there. I guess my question is, where you been, Apple? What's up?
Well, and why do we get so excited about it every time Apple does something like this when they're late to the game?
Interesting that you ask that. Here's what Ian says.
Apple is well known throughout the tech industry for taking some of these new ideas and making them extremely easy to use. But one of the other things people are going to be watching for is how Apple handles privacy.
Yeah, so a couple of things there. One, usually, whenever Apple gets its hands on something, it generally seems to be very simple and cool and not very difficult to use
or
to operate.
User friendly.
Yes. Very much so. And then there's the privacy thing where, you know, Tim Cook has been pretty adamant about making sure there is some privacy issues that are taken care of. However, when it comes to AI, it's a whole new ballgame.
Apple generally has advertised its products as much more respectful of our privacy than devices from other companies. But artificial intelligence adds new complexity to a lot of that and raises many questions about how Apple will stick to those commitments.
Yeah, so I mean, you can say, hey, we're all about privacy, but when it comes to AI, anything goes. So very curious. We'll learn today, maybe something special. Maybe there's some new ChatGPT stuff that they're connecting to. But something that you knew Apple was going to get into the fray at some point was AI. And here we go. I'm going to feel like I'm talking to Michelle. It'll be a different person talking to me because this is how Apple works with AI stuff. And no.
I don't know.
Not going for it. It is 6:44. Lots to get to before we get to 7 o'clock, including there is now more evidence to indicate that you will be working less in the near future. And I'm talking about the number of days you work. But first, sports and pancakes in. He's got it next.
Now, time for a sports update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Greg Hill.
Yeah, so the Brewers are heading back home after a three-game series set in Detroit. Brewers took two of three against the Tigers. However, the last one ended in a dud, part of the big fifth inning from the Tigers. 8 runs in that inning alone. Also, Tigers pitcher Skubal, he pitched a gem, 10 strikeouts in 6 2/3 innings of work. He pitched a gem very well, but when the Brewers did get contact.
And the pitch. High fly ball. Left center field. Wynn pushing it back there. Veerling back at the track at the
come
wall.
On.
He leaps up and he brought it back.
Wait for it.
It happened again.
Even Lane Grindle's like, are you serious? Like, you can't say that on the air. I'm sure he's be a little more professional than that. But come on.
There cannot be a squad that has had more home runs robbed than the Brewers this year.
You know what stinks, too, is it's like easily the most exciting highlight in baseball.
Yeah,
so it's like
right. Really
cool to see.
Yes.
Except when it's your team
right. On
the receiving end. 10-2 loss for the Crew to close out the series in Detroit. They're back at home tonight as they host the Toronto Blue Jays at American Family Field starting a 3-game set. It's Colin Ray on the hill for the Brewers, that is, this evening. Coverage starts with Brewers warm-up at 6 right here on WTMJ. First pitch scheduled for 7:10. In the NBA Finals, a.k.a. Drew Holiday versus Jason Kidd, it was the Holiday game. 26 points, only missed 3 shots all game, 11 rebounds. The Celtics now seal a 2-0 series lead on the Mavericks. They head to Dallas next. That game is not until Wednesday evening. It is Monday today, making the NBA Finals one of the longest championship rounds of all sports. NBA is my favorite sport of all time, but this is 18 days if this series goes to 7 games.
Right.
The Olympics is 16 days. Keep that in mind. It takes 4 years to plan the Olympics. We do this every year with the NBA. Anyway, speaking of hoops and the Olympics, women's basketball roster starting to come together, and this roster already stacked, but the name that was left off, phenom Caitlin Clark. Caitlin Clark was asked about her level of disappointment on not making the team at practice.
Honestly, no disappointment. Like, I think it just gives you something to work for. You know, it's a dream. You know, hopefully one day I can be there, and I think it's just a little more motivation.
Yes, say what you will about Caitlin Clark. She always says the right things, and with like the treatment that she's getting on the court, and like she throws elbows too. I'm not saying that she's just like it's a victim
right. Thing,
but like constant spotlight, I personally would snap. I'd be like, all right, enough.
Well,
I would just say enough. But props on her for like always saying just again, like, hey, how was that elbow to the gut?
It's just a little more motivation.
Oh, okay. Hey, Caitlin Clark, how was the constant media spotlight?
It's just a little more motivation.
Like, again, every time. So props to her because I'm sure you will see her on an Olympic roster in the next 4 years.
Well, so her coach, Christy Side, said that she got a text from her after she was dissed from the Olympics. And it said, hey, coach, they woke a monster.
Yeah. Let's go. That's
but
awesome.
You know what? I'm indifferent a little bit. I'm conflicted on this one. And Michelle, I don't know if your kids know the Caitlin Clark era yet, if they've picked up on that or not.
No, they're just obsessed with Simone Biles.
Okay, good enough. Hey, that's fine. I think that's it. She's good enough to be obsessed with. But I guess what I question is, if you're looking for the best way to garner attention at all times, sometimes the best players aren't always the ones that get selected for things. Sometimes it is just who you need on the team to get eyeballs, right? And this is one of those times. She might not be the best player, but boy, she's definitely the most famous already why you would not put her on, even if she's just number 15 on the club, seems strange. Seems strange. That seems like they missed a chance, because otherwise now, you know what? I'm not really that interested in watching the women's U.S. team. I would have had she been playing.
There's right. No shortage of names on this Olympic list either,
agreed.
Too.
Right.
Like, and I don't have to get the names, because if you're not a WNBA fan, they won't mean anything, but like, they are stacked. So it's not like it's just leaving Caitlin Clark off because her talent level isn't there, right?
Right,
but
right.
Still, to your point, yeah, there is an interest factor, right?
You had something to add there, Ms. Richards?
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I don't know anybody else's name on the roster, but you're telling me there's tons of famous people, so
well, never mind. No, good people. But that's the point, though, is that people like you or me don't know any of these other players and still want them to do well. Anyway, seems like a lost opportunity for the U.S. team. 6:50. 6:53 on Wisconsin's Morning News. She is Michelle Richards. I'm Eric Bilstead. Vince Vitrano taking a couple of days. This is going to happen. It's only a matter of time, and it's probably only a matter of what industry you work in as well, but it is moving in that direction, a four-day work week. Four-day work weeks are becoming a reality, and this isn't a new conversation. This has come up before. But MarketWatch has this new piece on it, basically saying that more and more CEOs are considering this. Software companies are all on board. Police departments are doing this now. Larger conglomerates are doing it. So it's only a matter of time before it likely will enter your industry as well. Here's what Andrew Kessner from MarketWatch has to say.
We're not mainstream yet on this by any means, but we're not in far-fetched fantasy land either. Of a four-day work week. This thing, it's on the margins, but it is like creeping seriously to the mainstream, and there are very powerful people who are giving this thing some serious thought.
Yeah, and who are those powerful people? Well, 3 in 10 CEOs are now exploring the idea of a four-day work week or a 4.5-day work week. Which I think is what a lot of people do already anyway. I mean, the Friday offices, come on.
Right.
That according to a KPMG survey that was done. So whether it's 10 hours for 4 days or 32 hours for the week, both are being discussed, both are being considered, but this is a thing.
I like it. I mean, work-life balance is so important, and that's probably one of the driving factors.
And one would wonder, well, why would this happen? Why could this be? Well, it's because they're trying to attract talent. And this is another way when you see it. It's very difficult these days to get strong talent. And if you can do it this way, Andrew says, could help you out.
The dream of people who really hold this as, you know, the next frontier is 32 hours. So kind of this idea of, 100% of the work in 80% of the time. For 100% of the pay.
I mean, yeah, that sounds amazing, of course. Who's not going to do that? What's interesting, though, is that my father worked for Baxter when I was a kid. So, 40 years ago? And he had summer Fridays would be half days. Like, I mean, that was 40 years ago. So, the idea of working 5 days a week or having 4.5-day work weeks is not, like, unprecedented. But now when you're talking about trying to figure out who's going to be productive, who's going to give you more talent, and who's going to be able to help you move your company forward as you try to do your businesses, you're going to offer somebody anything you can to get them on board. And if that means 4 days rather than five, then you're going to see it.
Well, a lot of companies are reporting that retention is higher.
Yeah.
And people... they're not going to take another job and go back to 5 days, right?
So. Right. Where are they going to go? Right. And I would still challenge that. Ask anybody. Now, granted, it's different now post-COVID, but ask anybody how those offices are looking Friday at 1:30, 2 p.m. Come on. Be honest. And even if you're working from home, come on. I'm just saying, but this is already becoming a reality. So 3 in 10 CEOs are now considering it, and it's only going to grow. 6:57 on Wisconsin's Morning News.